It's so easy to lean away from the conflict by bringing stakeholders together and involving them in the decision-making process. But I would strongly recommend that you lean in to bringing that group together and having them work together to set up the priorities for the business.
Frankly IT, straight talk for IT leaders everywhere.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to Frankly IT, episode 69. Today on the show, I welcome Julie Forsyth, VP of Engineering at Avic Networks. Before Avic, Julie spent years managing technical teams in a number of environments, including BlackBerry, and she has loads of experience driving efficiency on those teams. I chat with her about how to use a top 10 list to build productivity, cohesion, and job satisfaction within your technical team. Of course, Julie's current context at Avic is software development, but over the years, she has used these principles across a number of different technical teams, including support, and there are tons of great takeaways in here for you. So let's dive in.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Hi, Julie. Welcome to one of the very first Frankly IT podcast episodes.
Hi, Jennifer. Glad to be here.
You have led a lot of technical teams, large and small. You're at Avic currently. And you've been responsible for finding efficiencies and improving output with those technical teams. So tell us, what are typically the biggest opportunities for improvement that you see with technical teams?
So I think technical experts are a critical and valuable part of the business. It's so important to ensure they're enabled for efficiency. And I think that's the job of the leader of that IT organization, to ensure the team members have the things that they need to be wildly successful. IT is often an interruption-driven service. And so where possible, it's important to plan and prioritize known projects and work items with stakeholders and customers. It's important to get agreement across your stakeholder group to ensure that the priorities that are set for those projects will deliver to the needs of the business and to our customers. It's, of course, important to leave time for interruptions, but managing expectations with the projects that you will and won't do within any given month, quarter, or half are important so that when it is time to execute on those plans and projects, we know that they're important, we know that they're priority for customers and stakeholders, and they get the resources that they need to be done well in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, you said IT is very much interrupt driven. So what if your team is responsible for the service desk, which is by nature very reactive? Is planning really a part of that team as well?
Given that the service desk and IT teams have customers to service and questions to answer and issues to resolve, there's almost always project work that gets done by these teams. By spending time to plan those projects and make sure that their priority for the business is really important, so when the team does get time to work on those projects, they know they're working on the most important things.
So tell me more about the planning and the kind of process that you follow and level of detail that you need to go into to be successful. I mean, there's all sorts of types of planning that you can do from high level to super, super granular.
Sure. So in the engineering department at Avic, we plan on a quarterly basis. In that time frame and part of that process, we prioritize the most important work and we create a top 10 list. This allows us to ensure we're sharing with the team very clear deliverables and very clear vision around what needs to get accomplished in a particular time frame. Because we have that top 10 and four main teams, that prioritized list also helps inform where we spend our resources. So if priority number one or two becomes at risk, we pull from 9 and 10 the resources that are working on those activities to ensure that the most important items, 1, 2, 3, and 4, are delivered on time.
So you mentioned four teams, but you have a single top 10 list, or does each team have its own top 10 list?
Great question. We have a single top 10 list for the entire organization.
And how do you go about prioritizing those 10?
So as part of our prioritization method, we bring together members of the engineering team and the product organization who represent our stakeholders and our business vision. And we come together and discuss all the things that we may do in a particular quarter. We evaluate the return on investment and the need from a customer and partner support perspective. And we start to piece together priorities and work items that will contribute to the success of those that are consuming our product.
So that's really interesting. What I'm hearing is a key part of the process here is that you've got IT leadership, but they're getting together with leadership in other parts of the company, other stakeholders in the company, as you've said, and they're collaboratively building that priority list as opposed to IT just deciding, well, this is what we're going to do this quarter.
Yes, that's accurate. In addition to providing support and resources to deliver on customer features or service capabilities, we also, from an IT or an engineering perspective, have our own small roadmap of work that we need to do as we modernize the platform and ensure that we're doing the appropriate maintenance on our product so that it remains stable and scalable. And so it's been very important throughout our planning process and our prioritization process that we plan both for projects that are coming from the business, but are also prioritizing IT projects that ensure our product remains available, cost efficient, and supporting the needs of all of our users and stakeholders.
And would you negotiate the prioritization of those IT needed projects with the stakeholders from other parts of the company?
Traditionally, we've had some sort of time split agreement across product and engineering. Currently, that's about 80% for product and 20% for engineering. But that's a bit of a sliding scale. Depending on the heavy lifting we need to do from an IT or from an infrastructure perspective, we may take 30% of that time, leaving 70% to work on product features that would touch our customers or our partners.
What I'm hearing is if you've never done this sort of proactive quarterly planning before, first step is you need to figure out your stakeholder group from across the company. You need to decide together what the split is going to be in terms of projects that support the rest of the business and projects that help IT in their own back-end efficiency. And then from there, quarter by quarter, decide what the priority projects are going to be.
That's right. Prioritization is something that we talk about very easily, but it's something very difficult to do, especially with a room or a Zoom full of all of your stakeholders. Often, IT teams are looked at and asked to do all the things. And given the resource constraints that any IT department has, it's really important to nail down those two or three top priorities in a period of time. For us, it's quarterly, and those are the things that we'll focus on. It's equally important to ensure your stakeholders understand the priorities that have been agreed upon so that the person or the group that's asked for something on the list that's not getting actioned can take appropriate steps and plans on their own to fill that need short term or as appropriate.
It sounds like part of the role of the leader throughout the quarter then would be to protect their team from ad hoc requests. So to be able to go back to the stakeholder and say, this isn't on the priority plan for this quarter, which we agreed on. Let's put that up for discussion in the next quarter. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So we continue to keep track of all the work that's requested, and we really focus on the work that's been prioritized. I think it's important to note that because of the disruption and the interruptions that come as part of a service group, right, being IT, we always have to make room for those interruptions. We should plan for them. Time is the constraint and interruptions are constant. And so because time to work on projects is limited, it's really important to make sure that when employees or our resources get a chance to work on projects, they have really clear understanding of the work that they can do when they get that time. In terms of the role of the leader, I think I believe in servant leadership. I think it's part of my role to ensure that I'm creating an environment where my team can be efficient, where they can develop their own careers and skills, but also that they're enabled to be wildly successful based on the needs of the business and based on the needs of our customers.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
This top 10 list, this is a fairly new development that we've introduced at Avic. What are the benefits that you've seen across the organization and within the engineering team since implementing this?
I think the thing that stands out most for me is just the clarity around what will be delivered. Because there's clear negotiation and prioritization that's happening at the beginning of the quarter or just before the quarter begins, we're all on the same page when it comes to what will be accomplished. So the ad hoc requests that do come up, if they can fit into the time we've set aside for interruptions, that's great. We usually leave a little pocket of time for quick wins because there are times where we want to deliver something very quickly to meet the needs of the changing business. For the most part, having an agreed-to priority list has really enabled a much better relationship between the teams that are working on this and the teams that are asking for things.
I would imagine that it reduces a lot of frustration from the stakeholders.
It is. I think that when we first started to prioritize, and when I look at other roles I've had and implemented similar things, you know, those first couple of meetings where we're sitting around and discussing what the priorities should be, it can break out into some really awesome debate. We're guaranteed that someone's going to leave that conversation not having their initiative or their project prioritized and get worked on in a particular quarter. And so over time, those conversations do get easier. Going in to help identify the availability of IT or technical resources definitely helps. When we're transparent about the availability and time that we have, it helps with the conversation. All the teams that are coming to the table are often resource constrained themselves. And so I think they do understand that there's only so much that our group can do. And they appreciate that we're trying to find a path that is reasonable, including them in the discussion so that they can be part of it and advocate for the work that they need done.
You mentioned having a buffer for those ad hoc requests. Do you have a rule of thumb for how much time you leave?
Yeah, so that's a more complicated question than you probably intend. When we look at any individual technical resource, we can estimate that they work about 8 hours a day. We almost always allocate 5% of that time to their own personal development. At Avic, we believe very strongly in ensuring that we're creating a good environment where people can learn and develop their skills and progress in their career. So it's really important for us to give them that 5% so they can do some personal development and training. Another 5% is usually allocated for some of the administration that they need to complete. This includes timesheets, attending team meetings, doing planning, and sharing demos or managing the backlog of work that they have to complete. And so with the remainder time of each of those team members pulled together, we usually allocate an additional 10% of that time for quick wins or big interruptions that definitely need to get actioned in a particular time frame.
You mentioned that the stakeholder conversations are a great way to keep people in the loop, keep frustrations down, be transparent about how and when things are getting done. I'm wondering if you've ever been in a situation where some of the stakeholders were being difficult or weren't willing to give up that some of their projects get done and how you dealt with that.
I can think of a number of instances where we've had some challenges with stakeholders unable to come to agreement together to decide on that prioritized list. It's through additional conversation and sometimes higher level conversation that we've gotten past this. One particular example I can think of is where we've needed to involve our senior leadership to help clarify what the vision and the direction is for the company. And when we've done that, we've been fortunate enough to receive enough clarity that helps us frame what the right priorities are. The idea here is that the people who are sitting in that room are doing the right thing by advocating for their project and for their initiative. And from an IT and engineering perspective, we want to help them in any way we possibly can. Sometimes we may come up with shorter term solutions that will help, you know, fill the gap until we can put a long-term solution in place. In other cases, we need the advice and the guidance of the senior or executive leadership team to really clarify the importance of some of the things that we're understanding as the vision of the company.
Now, imagine too that this process of negotiating priorities really helps highlight resource constraints and maybe helps IT make the case for further budget or further resourcing. So if the business is asking for these 10 things and IT is saying, we can't do that with the resources that we've got, but if you give us X, you know, a new person, a new tool, a new something, then we could get to that. Do you find that it's helpful in negotiating resources and budget as well?
I do find it helps with negotiating budget and resourcing. When we look at our team, we've got many different types of technical expertise. And so we're always trying to watch where the biggest gaps are or where we have the fewest experts in a particular area. When we look at software development, DevOps might be a component of that. And growing the DevOps team is a productivity multiplier for how quickly we're able to get things to production, as an example. And so keeping a really close eye on the resources and the specific resource constraints help. Having your stakeholders better understand the challenge of planning and prioritizing with a small team is actually beneficial as part of that budgeting process because they'll often advocate for additional IT resources so that more projects and initiatives that are dependent on IT can get done in a given time frame.
Are there any other stumbling blocks in this process of, you know, collecting stakeholders, having the conversations, developing your priority list that you typically see or encounter?
It's so easy to lean away from the conflict by bringing stakeholders together and involving them in the decision-making process. But I would strongly recommend that you lean in to bringing that group together and having them work together to set up the priorities for the business. One of the guiding principles that I like to use is the three E's, especially when it comes to staff, which is enablement to ensure our people and our teams have the tools, training, technology to do their job well. Engagement, so that's engaging other teams to participate in the process, but also ensure that we're monitoring the engagement of our technology teams in the planning process and, of course, in the execution of work. And it's always a goal for the service desk and for IT and engineering teams to be experts. And in order to get experts, we need to invest in those people, assign them projects that contribute to their growth and satisfaction, and deliver the services that help multiply the productivity of the entire organization. Something that we do from an employee perspective to ensure our people are engaged is we often we'll poll them. This is usually done quarterly using the Gallup Q12 questions. This is an industry standard set of questions. It's done in a survey format, which is completely anonymous, but it helps us as leaders keep a pulse on our employees to understand if they are aware of the vision that we're trying to work towards, that they have the things that they need to be wildly successful, that they feel as though they're getting the support that they need from their leadership team. And so we've been doing this for more than a year with the engineering department at AVIC, and we have data now that demonstrates how we as leaders are improving the state that our employees and our resources are working within. It's worked out really well for us, and it's something that we continue to plan to do.
That's cool. I'll put a link to that in the show notes in case people are interested in digging into that for their own teams. It struck me when you were talking about the E's that there's a fourth E at work here, and that is efficiency. And that's what this podcast is all about. So I think in IT, it's very easy to feel like your day-to-day is flying by the seat of your pants, putting out fires. And what we've been talking about today, the proactive planning, the prioritization together, is really about driving the efficiency of your team ultimately.
Absolutely. Because efficiency is really what we're working towards. When our valuable resources finally have time to work on projects and initiatives through the prioritization and planning processes that we talked about, they can be sure that they're working on the most important things for the business.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Julie.
It was great to be here, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
That was Julie Forsyth, VP of Engineering at Ovik Networks. I'll put links to Julie's contact info, as well as that Gallup Q12 employee engagement survey she mentioned, in today's show notes at ovik.com/franklyit/069 for episode 69. Again, that link for the show notes is ovik.com/franklyit/069. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly IT, brought to you by Ovik Networks. Own the network.